The fishing opener, we're glad to have him in our stable of fishing guides. He's back once again this year for our Fishing Minute Reports, and we're talking about Fishing Hall of Famer, Freshwater Fishing Hall of Famer, Steve Heiting is with us once again, and with us right now, live from St. Germain, I will assume, Steve.
Well, I'm in Monaco right now, Jeff, so yeah, glad to be here.
Got it. Steve, I hope you had a good winter. Here we are, just days away from the fishing opener, and I know you've got some stuff on your mind.
Well, yeah, I can't wait to get in the water. It's been a long winter, lots of snow, lots of ice, and I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, so are a lot of us out here, Steve. And one of the big issues this year, and you're the man to talk to on this. I'm so glad we got you on board here at the Big Q because there's been a lot of controversy already this year. Let's back up just a little bit. When I first moved to Eagle River back in 1991, Steve, I learned about the spring fish and game hearings, and at the time they were held in the town hall in Saner. And I remember going because I thought, boy, what a cool thing. Just us regular fisher folk, we can go in, we can give our input, we can listen to some great information. If we have an idea that we want to put out there, maybe turn into a regulation someday, we as just regular folks can do that. I went to the meetings for a lot of years. Finally, I thought, you know what? We need a slot limit for walleyes out here on our chain of lakes. A lot of other guys thought the same thing. And I remember that night very clearly, Steve. A whole bunch of us put in these resolutions and all thought the same thing about the slot limit on the chain, and here we are all these years later. I think that's probably working. And so the fact that people have an actual input, I don't know about you, Steve, but I think it's one of the best parts about our resources here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Conservation Congress is unique to the state of Wisconsin. And, for us to be able to give input, maybe the biologists don't want to hear it sometimes, but for the anglers, who basically are their employers, for the biologists, for them to hear from us, it's a good thing. If we're thinking something or seeing something in the water, our input, I think, is valuable.
So let's talk about the new muskie regulations because they are very different this year. And I know there's a lot of folks who are just really worried about what's going to happen to this muskie fishery that's taken decades to build up to the point it is right now. Steve, one thing I know, and again, I'm no expert, but I know what happens when you don't protect bass when they're on the beds. I've been a bass guy way before I was a muskie guy. And when they changed that thing where bass were not available to catch and keep while they're on their beds, I thought that was a fantastic thing. And boy, I'll tell you what, I love catching bass and putting them right back. And over the last 25 years or so at doing that, I'm starting to think, well, even a good thing like this is not going to last forever because I found the last 2 years, Steve, I found that the big fish just aren't where they used to be anymore. The old spawning beds that were used every single year aren't getting used anymore. I'm thinking the big bass population on some of our lakes in Vilas County especially are starting to suffer a little bit. I would hate to see that happen to the muskie fishery because, let's face it, a lot of folks come up here, spend a lot of money to fish for our trophy muskies up there. So, Steve, from your vantage, let's talk about this new muskie fishing regulation that's coming up that's going to take effect for us here opening weekend this weekend. How would you like to start with that, Steve?
Well, I'll explain it. The muskie season opens. It's a catch-and-keep season, so if somebody wanted to harvest one, they could do it starting Saturday. Previously, the regulation allowed for an opener in the north, what was used to be the northern muskie zone, and that the season would open on the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. And that was in place to allow spawning muskies a chance to get their job done and spawn and produce little muskies. The rule had been in place since 1984. The reason it was put in place was not only to protect spawning muskies from harvest, by the general angler, but game wardens had documented and suspected that a lot of the bigger muskies that were being caught and, of course, harvested at the time were being snagged by anglers who just happened to be fishing, along the shoreline, and stumbled into a spawning fish or a pair of spawning fish, and then they snagged the big one. So that was done partly in regard to protecting the fish from anglers, from being snagged by anglers, and also to protect the fish just to allow them the opportunity to get their spawn finished. And that seemed to have gone just well. There is some controversy. We have some anglers downstate who say this is a put-and-take fishery up here. Some anglers, you know, in northwestern Wisconsin have a put-and-take fishery in northern Wisconsin. You know, basically they're stocked fish. There is no natural reproduction. That's what I mean by put-and-take.
Yeah.
But the farther you get in north and northern Wisconsin, especially north of Highway 8, almost all of our lakes north of Highway 8 have some natural reproduction going on for muskies. And the further north you go, the more the likelihood of finding lakes that are completely sustained through natural reproduction. And that's important to allow our muskies to spawn and without being harassed by anglers. And considering the budget cuts the DNR is facing right now because they have not been allowed to raise license fees for 20 years, they're looking at substantially cutting stocking of muskies and walleyes. And, you know, we don't want to kill the golden goose, as you said. You know, muskies are so important to this economy in northern Wisconsin and to the entire culture of northern Wisconsin. And why would we want to kill the golden goose? That's where the controversy has come from.
When it comes to stocking muskies nowadays, Steve, that's the other thing where this kind of turns into a perfect storm. If we're taking muskies off their spawning beds, they're not putting eggs in there. Those eggs don't turn into little muskies, and the DNR isn't stocking muskies the way they used to either. This could be a real disaster 10, 15 years down the road, and we're going to be looking back saying, why did we ever think this was a good idea?
Well, yeah, we're not going to see an instant return or negative effect. You know, it may be 5-10 years before we realize, hey, we just don't have the muskies that we used to have. And, you know, because muskies take for a very long time. They're a big fish. It takes a long time to grow them. And so when you're talking about a precious resource, as we have with the muskie fishery in northern Wisconsin, you know, we have, you know, about 650 muskie lakes in Wisconsin, and many of them, you know, by far the majority are, you know, in Vilas, Oneida, Langlade, Sawyer counties, Price County, Iron County. We got to protect those fish. We got to allow them to spawn so we can have that fishery going forward. That's just so important to this area.
I've seen DNR guys explaining their rationale on this, that most muskies caught nowadays are released. But I think they're missing part of the point here, Steve. That's a fantastic thing, the way that the Muskie Clubs Alliance, the way that muskie fishermen in general have really got behind the whole catch and release thing. The DNR says, well, they're putting them back anyway. People aren't keeping these fish. The problem is, you talked about snagging. You hang out in a bait shop in northern Wisconsin long enough, you're going to hear guys telling tales about how they snagged this big fish. They took the pictures for their guide service. They got this huge fish that they can have. Yeah, we catch big fish. And sometimes those fish were not gotten, legally. So that does go on. I was on vacation once up in Boulder Junction. I saw some guys trying to snag muskies right off of their beds. So that does happen a lot. And this new rule is not going to change that at all. But to put the odds into the anglers' hands any more than they are, I just think that we may be doing our research a very damaging thing right now.
Yeah, you know, you look at what we have now for muskie fishing. You know, there's a lot of anglers who have fished northern Wisconsin for a long time. And I caught my first muskie in 1979, it was a long time ago. And a lot of us who have fished here for a while think that there is a declining fishery, that there aren't as many muskies as there used to be. And that also is part of what we want. Muskie fishermen tend to want bigger fish. The DNR is stocking fewer fish as a result of that, because you can only support so many pounds of muskie per, you know, acre of water. You know, if you got more mouths to feed, they don't get as big. That's the way that works. But you look in today's, you know, today we have more and better anglers, and, you know, I'm partly to blame for that because I do a fishing report on JGQ every week through the summer. But, you know, I've always looked at it as, why should I be selfish with the resource? I've always tried to help other anglers enjoy this great sport. So, but we still have more and better anglers. Many of them are using forward-facing sonar, which is a whole other debate.
Yeah.
You know, our shoreline development continues. You know, we have tribal harvests, and, you know, we can't argue that here because I don't care for it. I don't like it, but, you know, it is their right. It's guaranteed by the federal courts, and, you know, it still is harvest. You know, they have the right to do it, but it's still harvest.
Yeah.
And then now with these budget cutbacks of, you know, to stocking, right now the DNR is hoping to stock 57,000 muskies in Wisconsin, But if they do not get additional funding, this is a whole other issue too. If they don't get additional funding from the State Joint Finance Committee, they may have to cut back to as few as 17,000 muskies being stocked.
Wow.
So given all that, why do we want to put more pressure on our spawning fish? That's my whole question here and the reason why we're talking right now.
Well, Steve, I think a lot of people are saying that same thing. So where do we go from here? We're kind of stuck this year, but do you think there's any way to turn this around? If there's enough negative attitudes out there about this law, is there any way that things could get switched around more sooner than later? Are we stuck with this for a while?
It looks like possibly 2 to 3 years. You know, this spring, last week, at the spring conservation rules hearings, there were resolutions introduced in somewhere around 20 different counties in northern Wisconsin. It was the same resolution. It was crafted by Pete Mana and Rob Manthi. Pete's over in Hayward, and Rob is in St. Germain. It was sent to me just to review it, you know, because that's what I did for Muskie Hunter for as many, many years as I was an editor. And then the same resolution was sent out to all the people who had signed up to get it out there. I was introduced to, and basically the resolution is to rescind this early season for muskies. And going through the typical Conservation Congress rule change making process, it would be 2 to 3 years.
Hmm.
So what I'm doing is, you know, given, yes, it is legal to fish for muskies on Saturday, I and a lot of other guides in northern Wisconsin are not going to fish for muskies until the traditional opener, which is Memorial Day weekend. We're going to let them spawn. And especially the water temp right now is only 48, 49, 50 degrees on our lakes in northern Wisconsin. And so those fish are not, or may be spawning or won't spawn for another week or two into the fishing season. So they will be spawning when it will be legal to fish for them this year.
Well, I guess it's something to keep an eye on. I am really glad to hear the ethics for all you professional guys that make a living out of doing this thing. I'm glad to hear your ethics are going forward over your pocketbooks, because I think that says a lot. You know, one thing I mentioned on our text chain yesterday, Steve, I always thought that you guys that are on the water all the time, you make a living doing this. I think you guys know more about these waters than any of these scientists down in Madison. And yes, I know they're up here a lot too, and I don't want to discard them and what they do, because they're a big help. But I always thought that, you know what, if in the case of a tie, I think that it should be decided not by the scientists, God bless them, but it should be decided by the guys who are on the water all the time. If we could get like a governor's council of fishing guides to kind of break the tie, so to speak, and say, you know what, this is kind of controversial. What do you guys think about this before they make a law? Just because, yeah, it's great that us people can have input into this with the Conservation Congress, but we're not experts. We're just wannabes. But you guys are actually the experts. Is there any way that there could be something like this? Maybe something good can come out of this whole thing and get a bunch of guides together, the Governor's Council on Fishing Guides, to break these ties and give their input in an official manner. Is that possible?
Well, guides don't know everything, even though they may sound like they do or want to sound like they do. But I would like to see some kind of a coalition of not only guides, but also biologists, you know, because they're the ones who study this, and they're the ones we pay to, you know, manage our fishery. If we could get a group of them, you know, together, you know, the DNR has a musky team of biologists. If they had a handful of guides to advise them, I think that would be the best of both worlds. You know, 25 years ago, there was an ad hoc committee appointed by the DNR that did include guides and fisheries biologists, and we were working on trying to develop a trophy muskie fishery in northern Wisconsin. This was, you know, it was around 2000. I was appointed to it, and a number of other, you know, well-known people. And what we tried to do was to produce a list of lakes that should have higher size limits. And of course, you know, the first time that our list of lakes got trotted out, we got our heads kicked in, because a 50 inch size limit on a lot of lakes just was, it was too soon for that. But now you look at it, a lot of our lakes do have 45 and 50 inch size limits, and the fish are responding. Hmm. So it's been done before. It can be done again.
It's just such a finite resource that we have here, Steve. A lot of people think it's just there's a lot of fish swimming in these waters. What's the big deal? It really is a finite resource, and if we don't protect it, we'll be sorry for it down the road.
Oh, so much. You know, muskies take a while to grow. You know, as this discussion has been going on social media, there've been guys saying, well, if I get a 50-incher, I'm keeping it. Well, you know, that 50-incher might be the only one in that entire lake. There may not be a 50-incher in a lot of these lakes up here. And it takes a minimum, in northern Wisconsin, it takes a minimum 14 or 15 years to get a fish to be 50 inches. In many cases, it's 20. So you're telling me that all the, and those fish probably got caught and released somewhere along the line. So these guys are trying to tell me that, okay, all these other people release these fish, maybe it was stocked through licensed dollars or whatever, the fish was stocked or it was naturally produced, and it lived through the gauntlet of fishermen for 20 years, and now it's 50 inches long, but you still want to take it home. You know, we have replicas that you can go to a taxidermist, get a replica done. All you need is a good photo and a length measurement, and you're good to go. You can get a replica. 20 years from now, that replica will look way better than any skin mount, so you can have your fish and release it too. And that's what I've been trying to push for many, many years. And I just think we need to conserve our resources much better than we have been lately.
Yeah, and this goes all parts of life. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's always the right thing to do.
Absolutely. That's 100% there, Jeff.
Hmm. Steve, just a general preview of what we can expect out on the lakes opening weekend this weekend.
Well, you're going to find lakes that are going to have great walleye bites this week. You're going to have lakes that are going to be struggling. The spawning, from what I understand, is all over the board. I was out turkey hunting last week, so I was not fishing as the lakes were opening up. Talking to a couple of guides, Rob Mathai notably, it sounds like we're going to have the shallower, darker water, farther south waters. The walleyes are pretty much done spawning. They may be in a funk or they may be biting. You're not going to find a lot of weeds to try to catch them out of, but certainly you're going to have to look for deeper waters or deeper water near spawning areas. Look to fallen trees in the water. A great pattern that I like is to go and cast stick baits like larger Rapalas and Rattling Rogues up in the shallows in the evening and at night. That can be a lot of fun. All you're doing is chucking and casting and reeling, and the walleyes are very aggressive to bite doing that. I love that pattern. But in some of our northern larger clear lakes, their walleyes may still be spawning. So it's going to be all over the board. And in some of the really shallow waters, if we get nice warm weather and sun, I would expect crappies to be up shallow and people would catch a bunch of them this weekend. So I think we're going to have a good opener. Some people always have great openers, some people don't. But overall, it's going to be a good opener, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's always a great opener for fishing. It's just the catching that can be debatable at times.
Thanks for reminding me of that, yes.
Well, Steve, looking forward to hearing your reports again all this summer here on the Big Q, and we're going to start with those this weekend. Really appreciate your time and your experience, your expertise, and all your years on the water, Steve. It means a lot, and so I hope that folks got something out of our conversation today, and let the fishing season begin.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Glad to be here, and let's go fishing, buddy.
Amen to that.